Time frame, a bare minimum. We hear from time to time the probability of a, or the likelihood of an L5 fault movement, and you mentioned it yourself. But thinking about it, there would have been quite a few of those.
Yeah,
particularly over the lifetime of that landslide you mentioned.
Yeah, I think we tend to get hung up a lot about the L5 fault, but a lot of the damage, I think there's, in historical times, there's been something like 17 earthquakes of magnitude 7 or greater. And of those 17, about 11 or 12 of them were on faults which we've never known about.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christchurch one is a classic case.
Yeah.
It was buried by 6 layers of sediment in the Canterbury Plain. It's only been ruptured there. It was confirmed that it was a fault.
And the other one was under the Port Hills waters.
Yeah. So in Kaikoura there were some faults which reactivated, but also a lot of new faults which sprung up. So yes, the Alpine fault is at close to point about 70 kilometres away. But there could well be other faults which we just have no idea about, which could suddenly become active.
Yeah.
Being a lot closer, they would be just
as devastating. And have the ability, and have the potential to cause rockfall.
Yeah. It's a felt effect that's important rather than the intensity of the intensity of the great depth that it's felt effects aren't going to be as much as the water shallow is.
Service and potential areas of buildings controlled by multiple communication, cutouts and lighting standards that can be required to find the hands of the controls in place at the time of subdivision. And finally, the zone recognises that some areas are subject to natural hazards, and it's anticipated that the government will recognise and manage the risks of people having. And those four bullet points are taken directly from the large shop residential zone purpose. I've attached attachment 3 to the summary, the relatively minor changes that would need to be made to the LL and chapter 727, and in particular I recommend that any dwelling, residential unit or residential flats within what is called the town heights be a restricted discretionary activity in relation to the investigation of natural hazards. and they're furious to ensure that that detail that's defined is important now in terms of the actual design of the development, taking into account the funding or the war or whatever. Second point, that the maximum group, ground floor area on any building within current heights would be 35% from each side area, and then anything above this be restricted discretionary activities, including apparatus mitigation. And the reason to increase that is the it's 15% in the proposed plan at the moment, but the lot sizes for the hardware are a lot larger than what we're proposing. The site density is set at a maximum of 100 units per unit, the exhaust area of the building heights. And the next area of subdivision is set at 100 units per unit. So, because this is a lesser effect than
suggestion, your conclusion that a density lower than provided for by low density residential is appropriate or likely to be what would be allowed on subdivision?
Of course the low density residential has a minimum lot size, which is significantly lower than the short residential. But I think from a visual perspective, a graduation of development into the low density residential zone on this meeting certainly looks better. It's not a hard edge. My thoughts in respect of this have come about by this has been evidence in relation to the density issues. So.
We've got submissions seeking the land across the road. The high density residential. Yes, and then we've got another submission from Lee seeking the land immediately to the west, the high density residential. So, if we would agree with all that, would large lots? I'm just trying to get a handle of why you're suggesting this.
Well,
yes, we're going to agree with all that.
Yeah. On the meeting, and the boundary is a lot higher than what the submission says, the previous submission says. It was really just a historical boundary that's been there for decades. I don't think this size or the means site could achieve a density of 1 to 300 if it's proposing the density of why is that? Well again, there's constraints in terms of the topography, access onto the road. It's not, even if you look at the older parts of Calvary Heights along Prince Mountain, they are nowhere near 1 to 300, probably close. closer to 1 in 10,000.
Am I right in thinking that what you're suggesting is even for the zone by this division it might be around 1 per 1,000 average anyway, or 1 to 800 or something like that?
The stretch has got more of an idea of how he wants to develop property. I would have thought 4 to 5 houses.
I'll pick up on the risk point that you were making. You haven't mentioned that anything to do with natural hazards and the exposure to risk as a reason for changing the density. I mean,
yeah,
16 is possible under LDR according to the standing zone. You're saying 10 under this zoning. I'm thinking if you have a rock protection tent, what's the
in terms of risk, I don't see this property as any different to the whole of the strength of the plant on this side. This point is on the side with rocks above. If you walk through the trees up there on Queenstown Station, there's massive boulders all through those trees everywhere along the road. So rock fall is a risk anywhere in this district.
And
it's
a low risk.
Yes, and that's the equation.
And with the irrigation method, so then when you look at the efficiency of that, it's a service.
Yes, it is, yeah.
The north facing, which I died for if I was going to buy the
retail. I guess it was just an alternative that we were thinking about in terms of density and in terms of issues.
But in the main, your reason is to do with landscape and the graduation of density, not to do with efficiency or responding to a hazard in terms of landscape.
Well, yeah, I guess my recommendation there is putting aside hazards. Well, it doesn't put aside hazards because
it's not relevant to the choice, actually.
Yeah. but certainly in terms of looking at the site from, say, Frampton, graduation, I think, through that area, I think that would work quite well. Just in reality, you're going to see that through emergency residential zoning in any case because of the status of the site.
This site is outside the urban growth boundary.
This is got at present under the proposed
canopy. Yeah, that's the submission of that to that unit. It's not recorded as such in the master summary.
I don't think the initial submission is written on it. No. There may have been one submission by Woodlock Properties who looked at the urban growth boundary all the way from Jackson Point through to Frampton, and from memory that included this site right around the toe of Peninsula Hill.
I'm not as familiar with you are with this factory, Mr. Clan. Is it, if there wasn't scope to change the urban growth boundary, is that a killer blow or what?
Generally speaking, urban development outside that boundary is, in terms of the adjacent policy, is actually very difficult. I guess the completed. I mean, assuming it would make it slightly more difficult.
Turning to something else, there are birds not residential zones. The first time it's come up in this particular hearing has been, and so I don't know anything about it other than what I've just read.
Okay.
Where else does that move?
There's no sort of residential on the Queensland side. Yeah. It's all in Wanaka. There's a new zone there, it's about part of the PDP, and it's located around the
Stone Road, and my copy is Zone Road Rock District. I'm
reasonably
familiar with
it, right? Yes. So then there's one area that is 4,000 metres square, which I didn't know the difference between the area and the residential zone, but another area that's 2,000 metres square, so they have a graduation of lot sizes for that zone at the moment. And this one would propose 90,000, so slightly lower resistance.
We're doing these elections after the
conversion.
It is very similar to a rural residential zone, except it's called residential.
You'll say it's likely, even under LDR, it would be likely to achieve a similar result anyway because of...
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Just before you move on, following on from that, I'm just looking at the submissions. Well, has there been no request for moving the Evergrowth boundary? There's no request to remove it from the Outstanding Natural Landscape designation. Is that...
I guess the plan assumes that if you're in a low density residential zone, then the outstanding natural landscape classification is required, and that's written in
there. Is a provision. Yeah.
So would it be an equal assumption that if we use under that low density residential, it would be even greater?
It makes sense, yes. I don't think there's a similar statement about the growth boundary going in the plan. But by doing that, you're definitely pushing the boundary out anymore. And then there may be that drop submission because you're interested in doing it.
Thank you.
Christmas Eve was that that would pretty much, Mr. Baxter would attend today to pick up on his written statement. And he has got a statement, but it's going to be read out today rather than it hasn't been pre-lodged.
That answers that question.
The only pre-lodged evidence was Mr.
Bryant.
Because
yes.
you also really at the time made that request. there was a debate about to what extent the loan institution was going to be sued, that he go out on site and check that we're doing that.
Yes.
So it's only come here this morning.
No, that's fine.
Of course, if you have any questions for Mr. Baxter, either now or later on the other rezonings, his other statements stand, but he's not going to present any additional evidence in relation to any of the other rezonings.
Mr. Bryant, just looking at your evidence again, this is quite similar to the last one, in that you're suggesting that such rockfall hazard as there might be could be adequately mitigated by some sort of protection of lots.
That's correct, yeah. I feel that the risk is even lower here because there is a run out distance and there are gullies which go not quite transverse but in a diagonal fashion. They would collect a lot of the rock walls that would come through.
You didn't in this case recommend rock protection, did you?
No, I didn't.
The distinction that I'm making in my mind between sitting in previous front.
No, I thought that would be a bit over the top in a situation given the large degree of risk. So
I understand. Thank you.
Okay. I just had a query about one of the bullet points in paragraph 18. You said in the fourth bullet point that some of the rocks seem to be in place by landslide, but earlier you said that landslide hazard was non-existent. I just wondered if there was a conflict in those two statements.
No, on first blush maybe first, but the landslide I'm referring to in that bullet point 4 is the same feature that was behind the Ritchie property, and it doesn't impact on the proposed high-density zoning area.
That's good, at least.
And the landslide surface doesn't exist. This is one of the high-density
zoning areas. Okay.
And to put a difference, of course, with this one is, we have a little high density area that's being sought, but it is buffered by low density all around it behind.
There's the answer to my rock protection.
The rocks come out, we're going to get to about 4 hours, but we have to see that. Well, if you have no questions, Mr. Bryant, Christian, can you be excused?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So, as I said before, Commissioners, on the way through, if you have any questions about the other rezonings, landscape type, Mr. Baxter is here, I won't give you any additional evidence. I just want to have a broad comment in terms of the group of rezoning members of identity. The Lee family own a fairly significant chunk of land, it's fair to say. The whole of the Vietnam Bus, if you're looking at the side of it, over the back and down to the highway. And across the highway, if you're leaving the town, heading towards Kingston Commissioners, and if you've been across the bridge, beside the new bridge they're building, and gone along but past the Calvin Heights turn off on your right, and you've hit a big left hand bend, then a right hand bend, but the highway takes a big Z. The Mead family own everything to the left of the highway as it goes around that Z. And then on the far corner of the Z, Boyer Road ends off down to the left towards the north, and the Mead family own that either side of Boyer Road. So the point I want to make here is that the Mead family are certainly not seeking through this process to, shall we say, maximise their development potential. In fact, probably many people would think that the most likely candidate for rezoning would be that flat plateau beside to the left of the centre as you go down the highway. It's a big flat area there that might hear to tell you is, you know, a number of approaches from people suggesting that would be good land to rezone and develop. The family's view and factors of that land is an important part of the entry to Queenstown, and certainly at this stage they have not sought any rezoning of that land despite its possibly obvious suitability for some rezoning, or potentially. Because they believe the experience in the Queenstown from the south is important, and in their current view anyway, rezoning that land wouldn't be appropriate. There's all this dependent that's the Coneberg Valley and district plan review and possibly future district plan reviews. We can't sit there now and look at what's going to happen to Coneberg Valley over the next 10, 20, 30 years. But certainly at the moment, the family might preserve that part as an entry to Queenstown. So all this little cluster of five little rezonings has really been the family sitting down and looking at the landowners and just thinking logically about some issues. Now, these are the couple of areas, low density and medium density, that they've promoted and the council staff have recommended to be approved. Also, the little local shopping centre zone for a small local neighbourhood shopping centre. I did mention in my legal submission that in fact Calvin Heights used to have a little land zone for shopping centre. As one of those funny little things, like 2 minutes ago, I went to pull out my old copy district, old transition district plan to get the planning map to show that to you, and of course that maps it. There's an old copy of the 1983 plan that sits on that shelf gathering dust, and for some reason that particular planning map's missing. But it was on the corner of Finchula Road and, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, a little area there, about the same size, that was put in the Finchula Road, the Poplar Drive, that was put in by the original Calvin Heights development, Mr.
John Reed.
John Reed.
Yep.
Specifically the little corner, neighbourhood corner store, but it got rezoned residential on a non-compliant activity basis, along with the price note. And so that proposal almost replaces that, but I explained, I've actually triggered the my legal submission to comply with the appropriate. And likewise, a little bit of high density, as part of the low density zone, a little bit of high density, obviously, Corridor Station, seems to have found to be a logical little place, a little terrace there. Like I think they were actually approached by Mr. Sanderson, who bought Ladies Mall originally, perhaps to look for a retirement village. There's a nice little area of land on the high density zoning. So their approach to dealing with their land as long-term land managers is just to look at tweaking things around, perhaps densifying it here and there, and largely maintaining the land that they are guardians of in this current form. Now clearly, they have an extensive area of zoning. And I'm going through before everyone, I'm going to ask Mr. Baxter to hand round his plans. This is what I'm going to explain. So the front plan there, Commissioners, is going to present. That was a copy of the plan that was lodged with the original submission. And just at the big picture level, you can see the yellow is the low density rezoning, the red dotted line is the zone boundary. We have running right around the base of the Empire Heights, the Empire Commissioners, the Empire Heights and Peninsula Hill are the same. a big lump over there. This technical term is Peninsula Hummock, and this local term is Deer Park House. And on this plan you can see it's got the Kelvin Heights sitting on it, and just on the right hand margin you can see what's getting close to the top of the Peninsula Hill. But what you can see from this plan is that the majority of the yellow low density residential zone land is actually unbuilt. And I think I'm right in saying that the Lee family own everything on this map between the red zone line and the existing houses that run down the edge of the lake. So all of that undeveloped LDR above Peninsula Road, between Peninsula Road and the Zone Valley, that belongs to the Lee family. And so that LDR land comes along, and you can see the two medium density pieces that have been requested of the little shopping centre. And the zone boundary takes this sharp turn and heads up the hill to the southeast, where it connects at the top at the point where there's a land ownership. So essentially all of the yellow land to the left of the red zone boundary, heading down to the lake, between the zone boundary and Jardine Park, is all owned by the Lee family. The black boundary, which is the yellow and the area photographed, is the boundary between the Lee family and the adjoining Jack's Point zone landowners. Correct. And then likewise, as the zone boundary down to the spot, as the red zone boundary goes up the hill, it's also a natural boundary. Yes, it is. So we went from the lake up the black and then up the red, running across the right hand to the bottom of the page. That's the cadastral boundary, the land ownership boundary between the Lee family, who are everything above it, and the adjoining Jack's Point. I forget which of the many Jack's Point companies owns that land. That's all part of the, below that zone boundary there is the Chesapeake Resort Zone. So above the zone boundary, the aerial photograph is rural. Below the zone boundary, there's no yellow, there's the Chesapeake Resort Zone. And all of that land below the zone boundary is in the Chesapeake Zone, it's open space. It's not developed. No one land, it's open space. So the background of this is that we have like this, the zone boundary in this area, subject to this low density extension submission, which is, I would have to say, arbitrary, probably derives from cadastral boundaries, planning boundaries.
What the red lines here, but there's I think originally the red one going around is sort of the lake. I don't know when that was put in, that has been zoned residential. As long as I can remember, I think that was on back to the Lake District Council, Tommy Thompson and Cyril Allen. Remember those guys, if you won't. Like the farmers, when the farmers sort of ruled the district in the early, late 50s, I guess.
You're talking about the...
Yes, that's right. And then the one that comes back in the southeast direction, that line there, that was put in, I'm not explaining to you on site, but... back in the good old days in the 80s, probably would have been Warren Cooper was there, and there was a lot of thought that now was the time to get some extra land if you wanted to. And I think the local surveyor around there and said, would you like to apply for some more land under this process, basically, I think it was in those days, a little bit more simple. Would you like to apply for a little bit more land? And when he actually sort of thought at the time, really, probably the love of Haddocks that we looked out on the side of Jardine Park was what he was getting. And when he finally got a copy of the map, this guy just drew a line straight up there in that southeasterly direction, which wasn't exactly what he thought he was going to get. And that went to council, I think Warwick might have been in council at the time, and this is what we've got, this line up here, really.
But later, shortly before you. To add, again, background, the previous traditional ban was 1983. It was made operative in 1983, so the time as we talked about here is probably 81, 82. So the lower land, the land closer to the lake that goes back to the 60s, that was a 69 plan. And then what Mike's just been talking about was the 83 traditional plan that was finalised in 81, 82. Somewhat irritable. Anyway, so we have this funny background to the landscape boundary we're talking about. But that background is just where the logical the rationale behind it is a little bit of a mystery. So the family went out and a couple of Baxter got a site and they grew some vines, which as you'll hear from Mr. Baxter, a couple didn't end up quite in the right place. And that ended up with a suggestion that the area of the plan A, the hatched area, the striped area, which is subject to the submission, those two separate areas would be appropriately rezoned over into residential. Based on topography, you can see the topographical lines going around, kind of based on topography and land and so on. So that plan was lodged in a little bit of a hurry. We then turn over to the second page, the might be some other colours. And what this is the amended proposal, which I'm going to explain to you, and that's what we're going to advance the evidence about. Starting with area A. Yes. Yellow area A, 5.7 hectares, and the little green bit, 0.38 hectares, is the area, if you just cross-reference back to the previous plan, is the area the submission sought to be rezoned. The blue bit, 2.24 hectares, that long-term strip is actually what was intended. It was meant to be around the sort of the edge of a ridge below the road, and unfortunately the line platform is not quite the right position. So that whole area A, the yellow and the blue, is a kind of a terrace. You will have been on site that you can see in the middle of it there's a pond with some trees around it. Mike's told me the pond was excavated in the 1970s, so it doesn't even a natural pond, it's a dugout pond. And there's a terrace running through there that you've probably been on site, and then that kind of terrace includes the yellow and the blue. The line between the yellow and the blue at the moment is a bit silly. It takes out the back quarter of the southern quarter, shall we say, on that terrace form. The black dotted line is the zone boundary that is now being sought. A little bit of green, 0.38 hectares has been, shall we say, not pursued. In my legal submissions, I signalled an intention to seek leave to formally amend the submission to enable, and that's potentially to enable the blue land to be considered. That's obviously in the hands of you as commissioners. But the black dotted line is Mr. Baxter's now on site, and he can explain it to you, but that's his logical boundary to that terrace. And just to complete this, the other little blue triangle of it is an area which Dr. Reed recommended be rezoned, which also wasn't included in the submission. So that's another little anomalous. And again, the black dotted line is the logical area, is the logical line if one was to do something here. So, area A, preferably with the blue, is there without the blue, is part one, shall we say. Terrace area, practical evidence does not consider that particular area has O&L characteristics compared to the rest, and the case is made to rezone that area based on landscape grounds, basically, and the fact that it's kind of a terrace that would suit residential zoning very suitably. Then we come around to the next big bit. The yellow area B, the yellow area B, 6.7 6.07 and the green 5.92 are what the original submission sought. The yellow, dotted the yellow dashed line, you'll see there in the legend, the LDR boundary drawn by Dr. Marion Green. So the yellow dashed line is what Dr. Reed recommended. And the black dotted line is what Mr. Baxter is now prepared to support. He acknowledges or acknowledged that the green, should we say, goes up too high. Michael confirmed it actually went higher than the book was intended. Contains some high ONL territory that the submitter does not wish to pursue. But we have this black dotted line coming around the land area B, which is what is now being proposed. Interestingly enough, if one were to have a presentation based purely on, shall we say, a purest landscape ground, that area between B and A, where there's no cover, might logically be argued to be part of the same quality landscape. You can actually see all of the road climbs up, there's a ridge there, the road climbs up, there's mature exotic trees. And on a purely landscape argument, if there's going to be an ONL, ONF line, one might argue that you kind of join up those two areas and have that area included. This is a landowner-driven map. That area is a ridge. You can see from the contour lines coming down right through the middle of that area. It's the ridge line between these two areas. The lead damage up in the shopping houses there on that ridge line. Quite happy to leave it as it is, and therefore this requested zoning doesn't seek zoning on that ridge in between these two areas. Another way, a more curious way of dealing with it might be to, if one was to rezone here, include it in the land use zone, put an authority, a BRA, build restriction area on that. But purpose of this presentation, that family are not seeking development there, it's not the ridge line, or the development on that ridge line will be fairly prominent. We're looking for the Queen's Mount and the Franklin Arm, so that's the favour. Coming a bit further down, B, the yellow comes around. There's a small area which is marked C. Again, Mr. Baxter can give you detail, but you know, his evidence will be it's a little three-sided, a little flat space with sloping ground on three sides, which is suitable for about one house. There's a bit of a funny thing happening here. Ian might have talked to it. He's had his long head there at Ireland as a potential house site. At the moment, it's that the zone line kind of puts two-thirds of it. It's a little wee terrace with three sides. And the zone line currently puts two-thirds of it into the rural and one-third of it into the LDR. So you could build on the front half of this funny terrace. Just inside the zone boundary for the earthworks. But you had your house sitting kind of on the front edge of the terrace, quite visible from down the line. The purpose of the sort of black dotted line is to allow that particular house to push back into the natural little enclave where it could sit. And if it's built where the sea is, you basically wouldn't see it from anywhere. Just about. There's a particular landform just there. And in the D, which is almost a clincher, the D is LDR land, which the landowner is prepared to forego and say, take his own car. So I have
a question about that.
Because you, the landowner, was quizzed very strongly by this
problem. Because how do we do that?
How do we do that?
There's no submission seeking it for a reason.
I'm seeking leave to amend the submission to include the blue. Basically, I'm saying here, Commissioners, there's a trade on the table.
I can see that that's what's intended. And if it was conceived as a catchment, I can see it could be dealt with quite easily. So I'm just concerned that just a thing.
hearings, where there's obviously you could do it by seeking leave to or delayed submission. That's one that occurred. And we, in fact, I made the time to submission because I'm in the house. Then we'd have to notify for further submissions. And then, depending on that, there were no further submissions, then we wouldn't need to rehear it. I'm just a bit concerned about this stage of the process, doing that properly according to the procedural requirements, the first schedule, to do it a bit late.
I did consider late submission or seeking leave to amend the existing submission, which is administratively.
I can certainly understand seeking leave to alter your boundaries on the existing submission. That's because that is, and I don't think there are any further submissions opposing it, so no one would be. But taking something away that no submission sought is a different matter, even though it seems logically not problematic. But that, I don't think there's jurisdiction to do that without doing it by way of a late submission and going through that process.
Well, perhaps we could just, if you would leave that point with them, clearly if we get one to one late submission, we have to apply for the to do so and so on and so forth. I will give further consideration to applying for leave to amend with this different. To mean to include the blue, is that what you might believe to amend the solution to exclude the orange?
Yes, I know. And the considerations there are whether anyone would have been affected by the change to the submission and whether that then is that's a relevant factor as to whether you can amend or not.
Also, commissioners, I think even if we were to go down the amendment route, what I was going to say in terms of the amendment, applying for leave to amend, is anybody prejudiced? That's obviously the primary question. And I look at the blue area, which is proposed to add some zoning, and consider that anybody who was concerned about A would be concerned about looking from the town, would be concerned about the yellow part of A, which goes to the edge of the kind of cliff face there, where houses wouldn't be visible, the blue that kind of fills on the back of the terrace behind the houses in the front. In my submission, like anyone would be adversely affected to the extent to lodge a submission, although they would be prejudiced in any way. Right, one about that, that's just a simple presentation. And if you're honest, I was going to say, well, who could possibly be prejudiced by taking away the bill of the Arizonian high on the own effort of Peninsula Hill? Again, highly unlikely. And so I'll come back to that legal aspect at the end, but just finish off by saying that, as Mr. Baxter will tell you, that orange land, the 3.6 hectares of stunning land. Stand on that land, you can look down towards Kingston, you can look west, you can look south. Mr. Baxter, if you want to, I'll give him the point out exactly where it is, you can see it out the window. It's right on the ridge. And as I said, it's a spectacular house size. The Lee family, actually, question whether it should be zoned in the first place. It's highly visible. And certainly it goes over the ridge, there's a ridge there, and goes over and faces the south part of it, so you'd be seeing houses from the southern end of Lake Wakatipu. The short summary is, assuming we can get past the legal hurdle of late submission versus amendment, and assuming you thought the merits were there, what the latter is saying is, are we prepared to give up the orange, D, in order to get, and in exchange to get the yellow, B and C? Kind of package. Not one, not the other.
Just thinking out loud, I suppose, because the submission included the plan, which is essentially the first plan here, it's suggesting that
there are some areas on that that should not have been included. There are sources and different areas where amending the submission might include downzoning as well. So there is, I think there is certainly more that there is prospect for amendment of the submission to incorporate all of that. But I think we really need to do that on a formal basis rather than just in the hearing. You know. Just the, I know there's a legal test that I'll have to go through the hearing.
Yes. And I would have asked up front if I'd known where we were going to end up.
Mm.
2 weeks ago I didn't.
Yes.
I'm quite happy at the end of this hearing to request leave to let this asset be adjourned, and on the way I make a formal application for either amendment or a land submission, and then leave it to the Commission to consider the legalities of that, the merits of that, and the fact whether it should be notified.
Well, it is, well, because we've been asked for the opportunity again to ask the Council for their views on the amendment sort of submission.
And it can be notified, I mean, if it is exactly the time between now and these decisions are going to come out. So.
Well, yes, I mean.
Now, the third thing which I'm not going to talk to Mr. Maxwell, the talk was actually one few points where Mr. Maxwell done his best to compare the existing red LDR line with the proposed white LDR line. I was just going to explain it. If there's anything else I wanted to say about it, in the last like, few minutes, anything was to add anything you could have to use that list of it. Anything else I've missed or got wrong with?
No, I don't think so. I was going to go back to C. Over 20 years ago, I guess, I thought that our family circumstances were going to be slightly different. So, see we need to plant a whole lot of trees around that site there, and then we actually had consent to build a house there. I thought it all must have been different in those days. It might have been really out at the X number of dwellings on farm land, but I think it was, and then we just didn't have money to build the house, so it never happened. The trees were all planted, and we planted a lot of trees outside that sea as well, down the front of the local place to try and suddenly didn't have to say, well, there's a wee block of tree branches in there. We've done quite a lot of work over the years trying to mitigate the effects of the house being there. That's my, I mean, I think indeed, really, it's vital from Queenstown down lower, not so much from here, but from Queenstown down lower and from Cal Heights, that area D that we're hoping to build a trade, as it were, I think it's appropriate for development. It's right on the skyline from the lower, especially Cal Heights. It was not, you haven't got the sky in the background of your company, you've got the remarkables in the background. It's
Mr. Goldsmith, just following up on Area D, is it open to suggest an option like a no-build restriction or something in Area D rather than its removal from the zone? So that you could, I mean, like, are there other ways of getting to where you want to go with your trade?
Yes, you can build that. Certainly a building restriction area.
Yeah,
I mean, there's only a place to build a restriction area there, but.
Funnily enough,
if you left it there and put a building restriction area in place, it would be a non-compliant to build a house, whereas if you
rezone
as rural, it's going to be discretionary. It could actually be a strong decision.
See, the thinking in mind, I was just speculating that, you know, this is often there are other ways, because it does look like a stunning piece of land, doesn't it?
I should say, if the permits to go out another site was at any stage, then it might be happy to show you that in any of this.
Well, I have a question about Leighton Christian Park, but that's the latest.
Mm-hmm. sort of process observation, and the effect of the green here, I suppose, that can be something that's drawn from the submission.
Yes.
As a matter of process. I suppose the music skills.
Yeah.
It's the blue of the
orange of the effort, yes.
Well, I shall have to draw the green as a anyway.
I prefer the short statements about landscape considerations which accompany submissions 45 and 49 as originally lodged. Mr. Goldsmith has described the different rezoning requests detailed in those two submissions. I adopt and confirm the short statements as evidence for this hearing. With the exception of the LBR rezoning, I have not prepared any additional evidence. I'm prepared to answer questions from the panel in respect of those other zonings and rezonings. My evidence today relates only to landscape matters in regards to the proposed amendments to the existing low-density residential zone above Jardine Park. My evidence recommends amendments to the existing LBR zone boundaries to better reflect the landscape considerations. Now, the case being presented today differs from that requested in submission 45 as I address in detail below. This very attachment you've been through there, you're familiar with some. So paragraph 6. The proposed amendments being requested reflect a more considered approach to the existing landform contours and other landscape considerations, and have also taken into account the matters raised by Dr. Reed and the proposed LDR boundaries drawn by Dr. Reed. And that's that can be translated as we put together the first 136 hours. So I'm standing in a hurry, so you've had more time this time. It's a better way of describing it. At present, the existing LDR boundary includes straight lines, which are lined on pedestal boundaries, but no relevance to the contour line of the existing landform. This particularly relates to the straight LDR zone boundary, which runs from the low point, where there's a sharp corner up in a southeast direction, to a high point on the Peninsula Hill. On general, that existing LDR zone boundary cuts across the valley, rising approximately 90 metres to the highest point on the southern boundary of the mean property. And I think we're familiar with that. The land is presently farmed and grazed with occasional groups of trees, minor rock outcrops and small bluffs. All the land currently LDR zone is well suited to low density residential development, with exceptional views across the site, Jardine Park, and beyond across Lake Wakatipu to the enclosing mountains. I have considerable experience in master planning and design developments on land throughout the district, and I have no doubt that this land is almost unique. There are very few blocks of LDR zone land of this quality in the basin. Above the LDR zone boundary, the land is so rural and is shown in the district plan as being an outstanding natural feature. There is agreement that the upper areas of Deerpark Heights and Peninsula Hill display classic ONF characteristics. When fully developed at some point in the future, the land currently zoned LDR will significantly alter the character of the upper western flanks of Peninsula Hill. Our attachment B shows the proposed LDR zone amendments. The following is noted. Attachment B shows minor changes to the area on that plan as Area A. The amendments to the area show an extension to the southern edge of that area. a small area of land at the northeastern portion of A is removed. The central portion of the proposed extension to the LVR zone, being that area shown as B on attachment B, has been amended to better suit the valley form that exists on that area of land. This area has been reduced to 6.07 hectares. A small portion of that land on Series C is retained as LVR. The area shown in D on attachment B in the southeast corner of the land zone LVR, now that indicates a 3.6 hectare area of land that the landowner is willing to remove from the land currently zoned LVR. In summary, the original submission proposed an additional 18.07 hectares of land to be added to the existing LVR zone. The amended plan before the panel today on attachment B shows the proposed addition to the LVR land reduced from 18.07 hectares to 14.01 hectares. The removal of 3.6 hectares of the land reduces the net addition to the LVR zone from 14.01 to 10.41 hectares. I discuss each area below from a wider landscape perspective. And I'm here referring to, as we go through this, I'll be referring to attachment C and occasionally to the view out the window. Area A, that occupies a small plateau above the existing watershed area. To the southeast of Area A, the landform rises to a bridge which separates Area A from Area B. And we can see that ridge form on attachment C, where Area A and Area B is the mature tree line running up and on that ridge. And that ridge is evident on attachment B, where you see the contours swing around and you can see a ridge running down there. Future residential development in Area A will be at a similar rate. Has similar elevation as LVR zone lands to the east on this title. In fact, there's large portions of zone land to the east of Area A which are at higher elevations than Area A. And that's just a simple case of going and following the contour line at that northern point of Area A on the attachment land. You can follow the contour line right round and you can see where the zoning runs above the land. Certainly on the land above Jardine Park and attachment A goes at 20 metre contours, this land zone is 60 to 70 metres higher than the land there. So it's not high land before, we're talking about a little flat plateau through there. The area includes a strip along the southern boundary, which is not included in the original submission, and it's the blue bit which Mr. Goldsmith had referred to. This was a simple mapping error. The intention was always to include a small plateau which comprises Area A. The southern part of that plateau was accidentally omitted. The original southern boundary of that as originally submitted lacks any landscape logic as it runs through the plateau, leaving part of the plateau outside the LDR zone. The amended Area A LDR zone boundary contains all of the plateau within the LDR zone. So if I look at attachment C, you can see I've got Area A, which is that long thin area, and on the thinnest part where we've got that extended width, you can see it's flat. It makes no difference with the houses in front and behind. So there's some there was some logic in extending that, and on the original mission, which was pointed out very quickly to me by Mr. Green. Number 16, in my opinion, Area A does not exhibit the O&L characteristics of the rest of the peninsula above and beyond to the south. It was the small plateau containing ponds, which I understand was excavated in the 1970s and is therefore not natural, and a considerable variety of exotic vegetation. those characteristics are more akin to the characteristics of the LDR land below than they are to the characteristics of the glacially carved blasts and slopes of Peninsula Hill up above. And from my opinion, the southern boundary of Area A, as shown on Tasman B, is an appropriate O&L boundary in this area. The minor extent to Area A will not be discernible from wide views, given that its extension holds at a similar elevation to that submitted to be included in the LDR zone. The ridge referred to above is elevated above Area A, well above any future residential development. Maintaining this land in the rural zone will protect the ridgeline, which is visible from Franklin Arm, from some Queenstown suburbs and from further afield. On Area B, the proposed LDR boundary follows and encloses an existing valley that is visually coherent and defined. Residential developments in this area will be visually contained within a clearly defined valley. I consider this to be a more appropriate landscape response than the current arbitrary LDR zone boundary. Can I just, and I don't often get the chance, point out the window.
I think this is the first.
But if we see up the valley up there, can you see up in that valley there's a bluff line running left to right? There's a bluff at the back of the valley. The line that we are proposing runs along the bottom of that bluff, then turns left. There's one large old man pine out in the middle on its own, and just cuts above that pine, so it doesn't go right up to the top of the valley. You bring it halfway across the valley. So if I you can see the ridge line is that main block of trees going up the hill. See, if I go over to the right, to the south, we keep going, there's a bluff in the middle of the valley. Can you see that?
We're looking straight up to go in the
and you can see the bluff. I mean, it's just up here. Well, we've run the zone line along the bottom of that bluff, so the house is below it. If I go to the left of the bluff, out in the middle of that valley, there's the biggest sort of round-shaped old man pine. Mm-hmm. The line we're proposing is not at the top of that valley, it's just that's up above the old man pine, so it cuts across there, then runs down in the gully in the back of.
If you can remember, actually, we parked on a little bit of a ridge there, mm-hmm. just slightly below the road, that's where the low end we were standing.
And I think while I'm up here, I might point out a couple of other things. If I go as far as we can over to the east side, there's one pine on its own. Come back to the left from that, you can see a little shelter belt line.
Yes.
That's the top end of the currently zoned LDR land. So if I come down to the right hand side of that, I'll refer back to that lone pine. Mm-hmm. Come down in front of it, you'll see a sort of greener face. Mm-hmm. You can see that. That's the area D, where we're taking out that green face and the flat line and the flat land up and behind it. So
that's a slope. And then on top of it there's a flat line.
So the existing LDR zone boundary, you see the one house on its own down at the bottom of the long tree line, which is Mike's father's house, isn't that right?
Yeah.
You can see that white house, we go just above it, and if I take the line from there over towards that shelter belt, way up the top, we talked about, that would be the current, an approximate estimation of the current LDR run line.
And you can also see this, the house site Mike was talking about, if you go back up to that lone pine in the U and come left to the little shelter belt, just below the shoulder belt is a bank, a little bank. That little wee hut in there.
Little
wee type there.
I mean, I was slightly at my words, but it's got a sort of amphitheatre in there.
Mm-hmm. If we can get the house further back, then it's just quite a clear, it can become a lot more visible.
I continue on paragraph 19. On area B, the proposed LDR boundary follows and encloses an existing valley that is visually coherent and defined. Residential developments in this area will be visually contained within a clearly defined valley. I consider this to be a more appropriate landscape on this point than the current arbitrary LDR zone boundary. I do acknowledge that part of the land originally sought to be rezoned in this area should be retained as rural with no any protection. And further discussion of the landowner, that original request of LDR zone boundary went higher up Peninsula Hills than the landowner and myself intended. That higher land, being 5.92 hectares, was now excluded. I have considered Dr. Reed's recommendation carefully, but I do not see much landscape logic in the boundary that she recommends. I have examined the LDR zone drawn by Dr. Reed carefully on site. Whilst there is agreement between myself and Dr. Reed on the inappropriateness of the existing LDR boundary in regards to landform, I found that the line drawn by Dr. Reed did not follow the existing valley and contour line. I consider that the line prepared and shown in my evidence better expresses landform by A, given coherence to landform, and B, protecting the major ridge line. Major ridge lines from residential development. The area of difference forms part of a secluded valley, half where, in my opinion, the LDR development can occur with minimal adverse effects on the wider landscape. The proposed extension to the LDR zone avoids and protects the existing prominent ridge line that separates the two areas A and B, are proposed for inclusion into the LDR zone. Well, the area C is a small area occupying a minor semi-enclosed plateau, flanked on three sides by rising land. This area of land was included in the original submission, and I was going to add part of it already sits within the zone. And is partially included in Dr. Reed's recommended LDR zone extension. Area D occupies 3.6 hectares of land split over two minor plateaus. These plateaus run towards the southwest with minor escarpments between the plateaus. And without doubt, these are prime residential blocks of land, as I previously acknowledged on this evidence. Those two existing zoned LDR plateaus could contain spectacular house sites. They are level. Again, there are two level plateaus, there's stunning bits of land. With magnificent views to the north across Queenstown Bay, to the west along the central part of Lake Wakatipu, and to the south across the southern part of Lake Wakatipu towards Kingston. And I would actually, and I'll just add there, I think actually the area D is probably some of the best land that my family owns, but so that's how important, this is. They're not giving away bad land. They will be at least $1 million sites, if not multi-million dollar sites. However, development on this area of land would result in dwellings visible on the skyline from the lower elevations of Covent Heights and many parts of Franklin Arm. Can I just refer you briefly to my attachment C again? And but really what this shows here is the red line is as close as I find to that existing zone, and the white line shows where we're trying to drop the zone down below that skyline. So approximately where the arrow hits the white line, which is which is the boundary shown on attachment B, that is the edge of what we're submitting as a more appropriate zone line today. At the end, edge of area D, it drops down. It's well defined. It's a change in that, and we're taking houses off that and keeping them below. So it would have 8 to 10 metres of rising land above it. So that's the summary there. However, development on this area of land would result in dwellings visible on the skyline from the lower elevations of Kelvin Heights on Mern and from many parts of Franklin Island. Houses would also be clearly visible on Peninsula Hill from points on this side, from points on Lake Wakatipu to the south, from which houses would not otherwise be visible. So if this area, was removed from the LDR zone, the landowner is willing to protect that land from development. I noticed that both the proposed LDR areas B and C and the proposed removal of LDR area D comprise land which forms part of the ONF of Queenstown Hill. However, the starting point here is that I was an existing LDR zoning, which is arguably inappropriate. So in my opinion, the proposed removal of area D from the LDR zone and the inclusion of areas B and C in the LDR zone will result in a consistent landscape approach to this boundary to the LDR zone. After my opinion, the exchange of areas B and C for area D will result in a net reduction of potential adverse effects on the values of the peninsula.
I had one from Mr. Charles, but I just don't know who's telling it. On Lake Winchester Kent, and I think you say something about the NDR zoning doesn't make any difference to the likelihood of complaints arising because there's already LDR on the property. But it must change the intensity of people around to be annoying.
It changes the intensity to a degree.
There are more people to be bothered.
I did make the point that the LDR zone
is
one per 300, the NDR is one per 250. So
yeah.
The 200 is that's hugely different. But I agree, the more dense zoning does create more attention.
Yeah,
that's some paragraph 10 is what's written. And as I said, maybe there was a concern there that including a different additional matter of discretion about the business is going to count these things.
The other question I had also was, can I take it from your submissions I've written and oral today that there is no reliance at all on this land being important for achieving the urban development capacity requirements of the district?
The areas involved are relatively small, the numbers involved are relatively small. You're talking about the overall big picture. Provision of housing, what is being proposed here would add a small amount of development capacity. So to the extent that it adds a small amount of development capacity, it will assist complying with those NPS objectives and policies, but when they get to the stage where push comes to shove and they want more houses.
Well, that takes it to the, is it realistic?
Development?
Yes. Within the time frames that we're talking about.
Is it realistic to hit those?
Well, is it realistic that this will assist them having those boundaries within 10 years, say, or 20 years, or will it sit there for 10 years or 20 years?
I see. We certainly aren't advancing the case here that provision of this land will assist reaching those targets. I mean, it adds potential capacity, which will be developed in due course, but our primary argument here is, again, the zone being promoted are the most appropriate zones for land, regardless of those NPS issues.
Have we exceeded that time?
I've spoken the lamp box, so you say, sorry about that, I should have been waiting to vibrate that night.
Sick leave to just adjourn this aspect of the hearing, and I will formally lodge a sort of request for amendment for a late submission. I will request we should hear your deeds, possible building experience. I will also request the issue of notification, amendment for rule, rules of this to submit us to the submissions. I will address this.
Thank you.